This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio and Video, where it's our ambition to move beyond just talking about Christianity to walking more like Christ. This is the Christ who walked right into the trap, it seemed to the world. He bore the cross for us. It was actually part of God's great plan. And Christ told us, if you want to follow me and be my disciple, you need to pick up and carry your cross. That's a verse we sometimes quote, but it's hard to walk it out, isn't it, in the Western world? But maybe we're being challenged to think more about such verses in this day and age in which we have a troubled world all around us. So we have a guest today, Tim Jeffrion, who's had a ministry for years. Now, you might be thinking about our country, if you're in America, your country, wherever you live. Afghanistan is in all of our hearts, isn't it? There's a country that in some ways is experiencing a parallel situation. So to give you some fresh perspective on how it is we can trust our God in a troubled world, Tim Jeffrion, who has a significant ministry in Myanmar, is going to help us unpack this idea of trusting God even today. So I hope this interview encourages you. Tim, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, Bill, it's great to be back with you again today.
So as we, Tim, think about Myanmar, it used to be called Burma. Give us just a little background in case someone's not really aware that this is one and the same country.
Right. Burma was the name given to the country by the British colonists, and they were there for well over 150 years. But in 1947, eventually the country got its independence from the British and had a series of different governments. And then finally, in 1988, there was a fresh military coup, and which led to the change in the name from Burma to Myanmar. And that's become now the name that's in the minds of the people who created it was intended to unify the people. But in the minds of the many ethnic minorities, it's sort of a symbol of their domination and conquest by the military.
Now, Tim, why do you have interest in Myanmar? Tell us a little about your journey, how it is you've gotten yourself connected there, so deeply rooted that though you've been pushed out of the country, you're constantly in touch and trying to help and serve.
Yes. Well, when I was serving as a pastor for a number of years, I felt a call to do international ministry, and especially to have ministry with pastors and leaders in places outside or beyond our boundaries, our borders in the United States. And when I went to graduate school, I met a man from Burma, Myanmar, who at the end of our PhD programs, he invited me to go and travel to his country. And I wasn't able to accept his invitation at the time, but about 14 years later, suddenly it seemed to be time. In 2007, I went and visited Myanmar just for 2 weeks to teach in the seminary, one of the seminaries there. And my wife and I, our hearts were just taken by the people. And so for the past 14 years, I've been increasingly doing ministry in the country and living there up to 6 or 7 months a year, all until COVID hit. And since then, I have had to do all of my ministry long distance online.
Wow. This COVID pandemic has affected the whole world, each one of us in our lives. And it is indeed a troubled world. And Tim, you've been carrying not just your world back at home, your family, you've been watching things in America, but your heart has been overseas, hasn't it? It's hard for you to leave somewhere where you've been so deeply embedded in the lives of people you now have come to love. Have you seen a lot of suffering there?
Oh, Bill, it's hard to describe. It's such a disconnect from our life and world here in the United States. We've got suffering here, to be sure. But when I first went to Myanmar, as I said, back in 2007, I discovered that 60% of the country was malnutritioned. People living in fear all the time under a military junta. People were afraid of being informed upon by other people, poverty, lack of opportunity, closed off from the rest of the world, people living in very difficult circumstances, and the suffering was there all the time. Limited medical care, you know, nutrition was poor, and on and on.
And I know it's only gotten worse. So I don't know if people are following Myanmar. You know, we look at Afghanistan because we've got troops there. We want Americans also to come out with this great disaster that's just occurred recently, and turning over the country in a way that was less than advantageous for America, to be sure. But in Myanmar, we don't tend to pay attention. Tell us about the military takeover that occurred there.
The democracy was coming to the country. And in the last 10 years, they were moving toward that. And they had free elections in 2015. The National League for Democracy won in a great landslide under the leadership of Aung San Suu Kyi, who won the Nobel Peace Prize back in 1991. And then in 2000, there was another landslide, a victory for the National League for Democracy. And the military decided that that they did not want that result. And they, without any kind of proof or evidence, they declared there had been election fraud. They, on the day the new parliament was supposed to take office, February 1st, they arrested Aung San Suu Kyi and many of the other leaders, except those who could escape. And that began what the rest of the world calls a military coup. They don't call it, the military doesn't want to call it that, but that's what the rest of the world calls it. And it's been 7 months of just horrific suffering for the masses, the millions and millions of people throughout Myanmar.
What about Christians? Are they especially targets these days?
You know, it's one thing I didn't mention before, that under previous regimes, military regimes, which stretched back all the way to 1962. Most of these, the last 60 years, have been under military domination. There was a lot of persecution of Christians, as well as Muslims and other minority groups. Currently, there's not any evidence, I don't know of any evidence, that Christians are being targeted. The groups that are being targeted are anyone or any groups of people who oppose the military rule. They're the ones that are being arrested, imprisoned, beaten, tortured, sometimes killed. Might this lead to targeting Christians at some point? Perhaps. But at the moment, the persecution is just anyone who opposes the military regime.
So, Tim, as you've been wrestling with all this, you've also been writing. And as we think about a troubled world and how can we trust God in the middle of it, can you hold up your book, show our listeners and observers what, for those who are on the radio, you can't see this, you can go onto the video and see it, but move it over to the other side, if you could. No, this side.
Okay.
There you go. What we can expect from God now, and then read your subtitle.
It's Trusting God in Seven Spiritual Truths for Trusting God in Troubled Times.
So let's kind of walk through this because, you know, I don't live in Myanmar. I live in America where, honestly, life is still easy compared to most of the world. But it's troubled times. It's a troubled world, and everyone's feeling it. I mentioned to you before the interview, it's almost like they're bullies in the playground of the world scene getting ready to fight. And we all sense this. National power is coming against one another. National and then globalist pressures and so forth. And change, even good change, is scary and traumatic and difficult, but the changes many of us sense could be coming may not be very good. And even looking at things we've experienced around the world as of late. So, Tim, we want to learn to trust God in these troubled times. What is the first of the seven principles?
Well, the first of the seven principles is, I'll read it to you. It's remember your limited ability to trust, to understand the will and ways of God. Take whatever God offers.
Wow. So would a good parallel be Joseph, this young man who has a vision, he sees himself reigning, and instead he finds himself in a pit and then suffering in jail for years. And he learned to trust God through that, and God lifted him up and fulfilled the vision. Is that maybe a parallel of what you're bringing?
That's a great parallel, Bill. Wish I talked to you before I wrote the chapter. I might have included that. No, that's right. And this book actually was inspired by the COVID crisis. Suddenly this world grinds to a halt and nobody was expecting it. And this background might be helpful to our listeners today, that what I experienced last year and again this year is that sometimes Christians panic. It's like, well, what's going on? And some people rush to try to say, well, this must mean that Jesus is coming back, or this means this, or this means that. And so I wrote the book really as a way to say, hey, everybody, slow down. Let's really look at what the Bible has to say here. And before we start making declarations that go beyond the evidence, let's look and notice that there are many teachings in Scripture about times of suffering and times of uncertainty that could really help us have a more grounded, balanced perspective in such times. And the first spiritual truth, as I just read, is understand that the ways God works are often different from what we expect.
Mm.
So Joseph, yes, is a good example of that.
So you're on these video chats maybe all day sometimes with people you care about in Myanmar, and right, many of them leaders saying, you can trust God. I can't tell you how this is going to come out. I can't tell you that it's going to be easy. But you could say the same thing to us right now, Tim, to those of us, wherever you're listening from, you can hear this message and the Bible is going to tell you, you can still trust God. In a changing world, he's unchanging. His love is still there for you. He's promised a bright future. And we need to trust him, because if we don't have him, what else is there to hold on to?
That's right. And I think, Bill, another thing that goes with trusting is that a mature Christian needs to do is to answer the question, what are we trusting God for? Mm. Because in our human instincts, and I'm certainly includes me, I want God to deliver me from my suffering. I want God to provide something that I'm looking for. And those are appropriate prayer requests. But as we read Scripture carefully, we learn that God has many other objectives other than just giving us or granting us what we want or making our lives easier. In fact, the majority of examples in the Bible, we see that God doesn't make people's lives easier, but rather he's interested in accomplishing things that fit with his purposes, which include our transformation, our witness in the world, our ability to love other people, our relationship with him. Those kinds of qualities we can understand intellectually easily enough, but they don't really become part of us until we've gone through that crucible of suffering. And that's one of the main things we should be looking for when we say we trust God.
That's really good, Tim. And you know, as we read the Bible, there are different viewpoints on the end of time, the book of Revelation, but it seems to be saying, I think, to most people on one level or another, that the world will get more difficult as birth pains. Christ called it birth pains, Matthew 24, before the bride or the baby, which is God's, the church, is brought through the canal of suffering into glory. And everything then is made new. And I think there's logic behind that. I don't know the mind of God, but I think he's allowing difficulties to allow more and more people to look up and learn to trust. When we've seen a pattern through history, we see it with Israelites, we've seen it in America, in the Western world. When we do well materially, we forget about spiritual things, especially the God who blesses us. We tend to grab the blessings instead of the blesser. And so God gets our attention. He brought the Israelites into exile to get their hearts right with him, then gave them back their land, you know? So it is today. And I think just because you and I are going through a hard time doesn't mean we shouldn't trust him. It actually means we should look up and say, God, forgive me for not trusting you. This shouldn't be a surprise to me. You know, Peter says, don't be surprised when you encounter various trials. Mm-hmm. And the saints were suffering, not just in his time, but for 300 years. And that's how the church exploded. Have you noticed, Tim, and talk to us for a minute about how, whether it's in Myanmar or other places, we can trust God in suffering actually to advance his work.
Yeah.
You know, just think about China. Give us some kind of information as someone who travels.
Well, I'll speak about the context of Myanmar. It's COVID started on the world scene, basically March 2020. And so it was a great trial for millions of people all over the world, of course. In February, of this year was when the military coup happened, as we already mentioned here. But that was like a whole nother level of crisis. Well, because of the mismanagement and oppression and the dysfunction of the military rule, when another wave of COVID came along in Myanmar, suddenly the health system was broken down. There were no vaccinations. And suddenly there were thousands upon thousands of deaths in a matter of weeks. And so there's this twin crises going on at the same time. You know, political oppressions, and then a huge medical crisis. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, the crises are increasing in the Myanmar context. And what I notice is that, and I hear that from, I've heard this all my life, whenever a crisis gets bad enough or suffering gets bad enough, there's always somebody who will say, well, look, there's proof that God doesn't exist or God doesn't care. Mm-hmm. And you know, even sincere Christians cry out, God, where are you? Where are you? And so because I know that's a real question, it's been my question for myself, too, as I've struggled over the years. I say, let us then look for an answer. It's not just a rhetorical question. Where is God? If he's not, we're not doing what it is that we're begging him to do, deliver us from this evil, then where is God in the present? And this says nothing about what God might do in the future to deliver them. I'm saying right now, while we're waiting, the years in captivity, for example. Well, one of the things that I've noticed, and I've noticed among the Christians in Myanmar, is the great extent that so many of them are reaching out to care for one another. Mm. It's that they don't collapse on themselves. The love, the compassion, the self-sacrifice of so many to reach out to bring a bag of rice to a starving neighbor, to help somebody get to the medical center, if there's any hope of anybody being at the medical center to help them, et cetera, et cetera. And this has been so inspiring. And I think that's one way that God is using the crisis to strengthen the church. And with that is also strengthening their witness. Because those who don't know Christ or have negative views of Christians who are one of the minority groups in Myanmar, they're seeing how these Christians are responding in loving ways to one another, but also to the Buddhists who are the majority. Mm-hmm. That God can use that, and I believe God is using that to advance the kingdom of God in a most beautiful way.
This phrase, Tim, just comes to my mind, love conquers. Mm-hmm. And it's illustrated in Myanmar, as you said, by people you know there, by the church. And I believe that's happening all over the world. And sometimes it's not so obvious that love is something that comes from the heart of God mm-hmm. when it's just a sentiment, when it's portrayed by Hollywood or by a culture that's living, sitting back and having an easy time. But when the going gets rough, those who really have God's love in their heart stand out. Yes. They do things that are supernatural. They care for people even when they're being hurt and pushed down and persecuted. So thank you for that. Tim, yeah. We're going to take this short break, and I'm going to ask you another question about trusting God in this troubled world.
Where in the Word are you with Bill Campbell, inspiring your read through the Bible in 90 days?
You are about to meet the great motivator. That is if you're able to handle such a meeting. Because you see, the great motivator can cut down to size your best arguments against God, his existence, and, get this, his amazing love. This great motivator can raise hope to a new level in every person who honestly seeks God. The question is, are you seeking him or are you simply critiquing him? Where in the Word are you? Join us in our read through the entire Bible where faith impacts our lives for eternity.
Where in the Word Are You is produced by Scripture Awakening, inspiring you to read, study, and live God's Word. Learn more and donate at scriptureawakening.com.
Welcome back to Beyond Words. We're glad you're with us today. Tim Jeffrainer is our guest. He's the director and founder of Faith, Hope, and Love Ministries. And Tim is very engaged in doing ministry, not just in Myanmar, but around the world through his writings. You can read and see a lot on his website. Just Google Faith, Hope, and Love. Tim, what's the URL for that? Is it?
It's FHLglobal.org.
Okay. So, and I know your ministry has
Global Ministries is the full name.
Okay, beautiful. Tim, your book has seven principles to help us trust God in a troubled world. And I had you highlight the first, but if you were to pick another one out of the last six, where would you go? Lead us into something that gives us a little feel for what the full book has to offer, to give us, you know, a taste so we want more of the meal.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. As I already mentioned, we have to recognize that our ways aren't like God's ways. And I was alluding to a second one when I said we need to look for the ways that God builds our character and strengthens our faith and restores our hope through our suffering. That is, if we turn to God and we in our suffering, we look to God. And sometimes you mentioned earlier today, earlier in the program, about, you know, the call to trust God and that God uses suffering to get our attention and call us to trust Him. But there's this gap between our experience of terror or hope or disappointment or even anger and rage over what's happening and trusting. And so it's that to move from our emotional reactions or our doubts to that place of a genuine heartfelt trust in God, that takes a process. And so one of the things I talk about in the book is this process of turning to God with our questions, looking to Scripture for what it teaches us about how God wants to work in our lives, asking God to do in us what we can't do in our own power or by our own willpower. Like sometimes you can't just trust just by wanting to trust. We need the Holy Spirit to enable us to trust. So we might pray, say, God, help me to bridge that gap. Teach me how to trust in the midst of this. Set me free from the things that are holding me back. Show me what does it mean to take that leap to faith. Mm-hmm. Another thing that's in here, one of the chapters in the book is
on. Hold on.
Go ahead.
That verse where you've got a man coming up for healing, and Christ says, you'll be healed if you believe. He says, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yeah.
That cry out to the Lord to help us where our weakness is incredibly important. And I know that's what you're saying, but I just wanted to circle around with that.
No, thank you. Thank you for adding that. That's exactly right. And I do think that some of our listeners, because I know I've experienced this other places, feel guilty that they don't trust God more. And one of the things that I talk about in the book is don't feel guilty about that. Don't feel shame if you're struggling and you're suffering. That's normal. God understands that. God looks at you compassionately when you're suffering and struggling. And so this book is written to help you gently find your way to the place where you can trust God again. You can put your hope in God, not artificially, but genuinely from your heart. So that's part of what I'm talking about here. And the final conclusion, after I go through these seven spiritual truths, is where I tell my own story of when I had really struggled with my mother's Alzheimer's disease. Mm-hmm. And it was so painful to me, so upsetting to me. It seemed so unjust that God would allow her to suffer and our whole family to suffer. And of course, I know many, many, many other people have that same kind of experience. But in my own personal response, I was angry. I was upset. But what God taught me through that experience and at the end of that experience was that I don't have to look for proof that God exists or that God cares. Because for every proof that there is in my mind that God cares, I can find some evidence that God's absent. And so I'll never be able to prove that God cares that would satisfy a scientist or a logician. Mm. Instead, I need to honestly look at my experience and that I need to be willing to see that I can choose to trust in God. Mm. And that really was a turning point for me in my suffering, was putting aside my ability or lack of ability to prove anything about God, and instead to say, what the Bible teaches me about God and about my relationship with God has been my experience to a large extent. And I want more of it. I want more of God. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to choose to trust God. I'm going to choose this path of searching for God or seeking out God, even though many times I'm searching in the dark or I have questions that can't be answered. But that choice is so powerful and has been so life-changing for me.
I'm going to close, Tim, as our time's out, with this prayer that God will help us each to make that choice. And I hope as you listen, you'll join me in this prayer, because God knows your situation. The Bible says he knows all of us, our hearts, our thoughts. He cares about the sparrow that dies. How much more, the word of God says, for every single living human being. He knows the hairs in your head. They're all numbered. You know, I mean, that's how much he knows about what you're going through. And so the prayer is, Lord, help me to trust you more. If I believe what the Bible says, then you do care. You died for me. And if I don't believe the Bible, then I might as well reject the whole Christian faith. So I'm either in or out. If I'm in, let me be all in. And I choose to be all in, Lord. I choose to say with the man who said, help my unbelief, Lord, I do believe. It may be a little faith, but you said the grain of mustard seed, a little bit, almost unseen, is enough. So take what I have, that little bit of faith, and build it so that I might believe in you for salvation and also for growing more like Jesus, for strength to get through troubled times in this changing world. And thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Tim, thank you so much. Very insightful.
Thank you, Bill.
I hope people will go to Faith, Hope, and Love Global Ministries, and they're going to find your book, or just Google that. God bless.
God bless you too.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.